Sarvekarma to Radha,
Vikram Jalina Odanam,
He took the preparation in his joined palms, and after smelling it, he offered a portion to his wife. Prabhupada, the word Udaradi is significant in this connection. The wife of the king, Sunita, was not fit to accept this benediction, yet the king was so liberal that without hesitation he offered to his wife the boiled rice and the milk. Prasad received from the Yajna Purusha. Now, of course, everything is designed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As will be explained in the later verses, this instance was not very favorable for the king. The king was very liberal. The Supreme Personality of God, in order to increase his detachment from this material world, willed that a cruel son be born of the queen so the king would have to leave home. As stated above, Lord Vishnu fulfills the desires of the karmis as they desire. The Lord fulfills the desire of a devotee in a different way, so that the devotee may gradually come to him. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. The Lord gives the devotee the opportunity to make progress further and further, so that he may come back home, back to Godhead. Although the queen had no son, after eating that food which had the power to produce the male child, she became pregnant by her husband, and due course of time she gave birth to a son. Among the 10 kinds of purgatory processes, one is Pumsalana, which the wife is offered some prasadam or remnancy. Pustapa offered to Lord Vishnu so that after sexual intercourse with her husband, she may conceive a child. That boy was born partially in the dynasty of irreligion. His grandfather was death personified, and the boy grew up as his follower. He became a greatly irreligious person. For the child's mother, Sunita, was the daughter of death personified. Generally, the daughter receives the qualifications of her father, and the son acquires those of the mother. So, according to the axiomatic truth that things equal to the same thing are equal to another, the child born of King Anga became the follower of his maternal grandfather. According to Smriti Shastra, a child generally follows the principles of his maternal uncle's house. Narana Matula Karma means that a child generally follows the qualities of his maternal family. And if the maternal family is very corrupt or sensual, the child, even though born of a good father, becomes the victim of the maternal family. According to Vedic civilization, therefore, before the marriage takes place, an account is taken of both the boy and girl's families. If according to astrological calculation, the combination is perfect, then marriage takes place. Sometimes, however, there is a mistake and family life becomes frustrating. It appears that King Anga did not get a very good wife with Sunita because she was the daughter of death personified. Sometimes the Lord arranges an unfortunate wife for his devotee so that gradually, due to family circumstances, the devotee becomes detached from his wife and home and makes progress in devotional life. It appears that by the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of God in King Anga, although a pious devotee, got an unfortunate wife like Sunita and later on a bad child like Vena. But the result was that he got the freedom from entanglement of family life and left home to go back to Godhead. After fixing his bow and arrow, the cruel boy used to go to the forest unnecessarily kill innocent deer, and as soon as he came, all the people would cry, "Here comes cruel Vena, here comes cruel Vena." Purple Kshatriyas are allowed to hunt in the forest for the purpose of learning the killing art, not to kill animals for eating or for other purpose. The Kshatriya king is sometimes expected to cut off the head of a culprit in the state. For this reason, the Kshatriyas are allowed to hunt in the forest. Because this son of King Angavena was born of a bad mother who was very cruel, and he used to go to the forest and unnecessarily kill the animals. All the neighboring inhabitants would be frightened by his presence, and they would call, "Here comes Vena, here comes Vena." So from the beginning of his life, he was fearful to the citizens. The boy was so cruel that while playing with young boys of his age, he would kill them very mercilessly, as if they were animals meant for slaughter. After seeing the cruel and merciless behavior of his son, Vena, King Anga punished him in different ways to reform him, but was unable to bring him to the path of gentleness. He thus became greatly aggrieved. The king thought to himself, "Persons who have no son are certainly fortunate. They must have worshipped the Lord in their previous lives so that they would not have to suffer the unbearable happiness caused by a bad son. A sinful son causes a person's reputation to vanish. His irreligious activities at home cause irreligion and quarrel among everyone, and this creates only endless anxiety. The report has said that a married couple must have a son, otherwise the family is void, but a son born without good qualities is as good as a blind eye. A blind eye has no use for seeing, but it is simply unbearably painful. The king therefore thought himself very unfortunate to have such a bad son, who, if he is considered intelligent, would desire such a worthless son. Such a son is nothing but a bond of illusion for the living entity. He makes one's home miserable." The king was very liberal, and after taking permission from the priest, he took the preparation in his joint hands and after smelling, he offered a portion to his wife. So the king followed the directions of the priest, and he made an offering to Vishnu, and then Vishnu appeared. Someone appeared, at least a Purusha appeared, probably Vishnu, and he had this rice in his hand, and so the king gave this to his wife to eat, and then she got a son. So it was sacrifice was successful, and the Lord gave them a son. But as we see, in spite of the Lord giving the son, the son was not proper. He was completely corrupt. So the Lord gave a blessing of sort by giving a son because the king wanted a son. At the same time, the king later regretted that he asked for that benediction because the son turned out to be more of a problem than a blessing. So in this way, the benediction given by the Supreme Lord turned out to be miserable for the king in one sense. On the other hand, we also see that because of this situation, the king decided that he should become detached from the material world. So this was good for his spiritual development. So though it superficially appeared to be an unfortunate situation, it was actually good fortune for the king because he learned something from this. He learned that family life is unpredictable and insecure, and ultimately one should give it up. So that's exactly what he did. He left the kingdom later on. Unfortunately, King Vena became the king, so that's the main problem. That after, because the king didn't have any descendants except Vena, Vena actually took over the kingdom. So that was a very bad move. And therefore the Brahmins had to eventually kill him. So the Lord gives benedictions, and it is very difficult to understand the purpose of the Lord. Sometimes he will benedict persons like Dhruva, and that is all auspicious for them. In this case, his benediction turned out to be very miserable for King Anga. But as we see, ultimately it was for his own good. So the Supreme Lord, by his extraordinary omniscience and will, arranges everything for each jiva. and accordingly he will arrange affairs which may be good or may be bad, but in any case, they're always fortunate. So that is why in the material world, the devotee of the Lord always has the conception that whatever happens to me is the will of the Lord, and it's good for me. And even if he's suffering, he takes that as the mercy of the Lord. Of course, we also know that suffering is usually caused by karma, and karma, of course, is the will of the Lord indirectly. But it's ultimately the result of our own activities. The devotee takes that karma as an example of the Lord's mercy. So karma is the Lord's way of giving instructions to the jiva. So that is how the devotee takes his karma and his suffering in the material world, that he should learn something from this. And we see in the case of Anga, he was suffering because first he didn't have a son, so the Lord gave him a son, and then he suffered because of the son, because the son was evil. So in any case, he had some bad karma of sorts, because as the priest said, you don't have a son, that is bad karma. So he got a son, even then he had bad karma. So the king ultimately took that suffering as an example of his own previous activities, and he should learn something from it. So what did he learn? He learned that this family life and raising families and having sons ultimately is useless. He became detached from the whole affair. So he took it in a good way. So this is how the devotee acts in face of karma or suffering, whatever. He takes that as some sort of a beneficial arrangement for it to learn something. And he takes it as the mercy of the Lord. In other cases, of course, it is not karma. It is directly the Lord acting. For instance, for Nityasiddhas, they may have to suffer in this material world. The Pandavas suffered in the forest for many years. That is not karma. So it is an arrangement of the Lord also. So those devotees also take that situation. Pandavas take that situation also as an arrangement of the Lord for their own good. Now they don't know why it's happening. And Bhishma also is puzzled. He said, we don't understand the activities of the Lord. We know he's arranging everything, but why does he make such strange arrangements? He's supposed to protect Dharma and punish the wicked people, but somehow we end up with the Pandavas getting punished and going to the forest and Duryodhana enjoying the throne. How is it possible? For even Bhishma, he was puzzled by the acts of the Lord. How does he act? But ultimately, he accepts, we do not understand the activities of the Lord, but ultimately, the Lord knows what is good for everybody. So as we see in the whole Mahabharata and the Persian War and everything, the Lord had planned everything very carefully so that all the demons were annihilated at once, and almost at once, and the Pandavas became the rulers, ultimately. So no one can really understand the nature of the Supreme Lord. So for the pure devotees, the Nityasiddhas and Siddha devotees, the Lord may put them in situations, but the devotees tolerate that, knowing that the Lord has some purpose in doing that. And for people in the material world that are not Siddhas, that are affected by karma, they still take that karma as mercy of the Supreme Lord, and they accept that. So in this way, the devotees understand that everything is ultimately the will of the Supreme Lord. It does, of course, if one has an attitude, it gives the possibility of more surrender. So we see that in the case of Gajendra. That's because Gajendra, as the elephant, was suffering, then he surrendered to the Lord. Why did he surrender? Because in his previous life he had been a devotee, and he remembered the Supreme Lord from that incident, but then he got cursed to be an elephant.
So of course becoming an elephant was also suffering. But he didn't realize that because he was enjoying very nicely with the elephants in the water, etc. Until he got attacked by the crocodile. And he got attacked by the crocodile, and then, you know, 1,000 years he fought in the water and he became tired. Then he began praying to the Supreme Lord. So that suffering was an opportunity for him to again remember the Supreme Lord. So if one has faith, then in those situations of suffering, the devotee surrenders to the Supreme Lord. So those situations actually act for his benefit. And we see in the Bible that it says that if the Lord is really merciful to a person, then he takes away everything. And that's his mercy. So the devotee then realizes the material world is useless. That is, if the devotee has lots of material attachments or whatever, and the Lord thinks it's unfavorable, then he will take away everything from that devotee. And then the devotee surrenders completely to the Lord. An example of that is the Avanti Brahmana. He was living in his house and whatever, and then gradually the family members became hostile to him and they eventually kicked him out of the house. And then he understood material life is useless. And so he renounced and became a sannyasi and surrendered to the Lord completely because of that miserable family life. So he had also a good realization. He lost everything. He was wealthy at one time, and then gradually his family members took everything away from him, cheated him, kicked him out of the house. So then he realized, oh, family life, useless. He gave it all up and took sannyas and surrendered to the Lord. So that is the position of the devotees of the Lord. Their attitude is always one of taking the mercy of the Lord and continuing their faith in the Lord and their worship of the Supreme Lord. And what is the result of that? They become the objects of the Lord's mercy. Because they exhibit strong faith in the Lord, that they never lose faith in the Lord in spite of all the different circumstances, in spite of not understanding why the Lord is doing it. Still, they continue to worship the Lord. So the Lord rewards them for that. They get the mercy of the Lord. They become Daya Bhak. They became rightful claimants of the Lord's mercy. And so that's the reward for their strong faith in the Lord in all circumstances. So in one sense we can say it is a test. The circumstances of life are a test for the devotee. And through all those different situations, he should understand that the Lord has some plan. And therefore he should continue to worship the Lord in all cases.
Is many people say whatever happened is good and what is going to happen is good, and then they put the ending is the essence of people. People bring the calendars and sequence.
Well, not exactly, because then you could all the demons could justify their activities. In terms of activity, one also has to be responsible. So you start killing people and say it's all good. And it's not, it doesn't make any sense. So that's not the essence also. So we have to be careful how we use these slogans. So he does activities, and we may not understand why he acts like that, or why he does this, or why he arranges like that. But ultimately, it is for everyone's benefit. So we see he kills the demons. But if he kills the demons, then they get liberation. So even the demons benefit by the Lord's actions. Yeah, of course, the bhakti destroys karma, but in the process of bhakti, it's not destroyed immediately, but they may have the residual effects or whatever that are still on them. So they tolerate that in any case. Thank you.
moment.